Let's give this a shot.
This is One Dude with a Fantasy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Vetoing trades. First off, if you're 1-4, 1-5, 2-4, losing record, we're only like 6 weeks into the fantasy football season. Please do not give up on the fantasy football season. Remember, we get 18 weeks, whereas NFL teams only play 17 games. Now, most playoffs are going to be weeks 15, 16, and 17. So that gives you 14 weeks of fantasy football. So you should still have 8 left if my math is correct. But you just need to shake some stuff up. First off, you owe it to your fantasy football league, even if you go 2-whatever for the entire season. You can't just give up on a season. You have to start a starting lineup every week. That should be the only requirement in every league, even dynasties. Look, people are going to tank. NFL teams tank. They're just not going to come out and say it. Tanking is a thing. Everybody in a dynasty pays the same amount of dues. Tanking should be allowed. All you should have to do is just start somebody that's going to play. If that's what you're doing, which is kind of scummy to me, I like being a spoiler even when I'm having a bad season. I like beating the teams that are trying to make the playoffs. That's what I try to do. So I start my best team every week. But you should at least have to start a team. But don't give up on the season. All right. I also like weekly prizes in fantasy football for that reason. That way somebody always has something to play for on a week-to-week basis. But if you're in a team that allows vetoing trades, we need to talk because this needs to stop. Trades should not be vetoed in fantasy football unless you can prove collusion. And that's somebody being paid underneath the table or something shady going on in the backdrop. Hey, man, I'm not coming back next year. I'm going to trade you all my guys, and then you're going to have a stack team moving forward. That's collusion. Okay, now that's the difference. If you can prove that, but then by all means, and that should be up to a commissioner. And if somebody wants to get to a commissioner and explain that to them, that they think there is collusion going on, that's how that should be handled. And if you collude with somebody, you should be booted out of a fantasy football league. That's cheating. All right, but this conversation comes up every single year in one of the 12 fantasy football leagues that I play in. So this week it came up, and the trade that's being questioned is not even a bad trade. All right, we're getting into the season where people are wanting to frantically make trades because they need to turn their season around. All right, and a lot of teams' trade deadlines come up in like 3 or 4 or 5 weeks or whenever. The trade in question this week was Joe Mixon for Nico Collins. Nico Collins was placed on the IR on Wednesday. Joe Mixon is questionable and should play this weekend, but he's been hurt. I get that for the last 2 weeks. This is not a trade that somebody should be crying about in any fantasy football league. Maybe I'm stacked at wide receiver, and instead of having Nico Collins sit on IR for the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks, I want to trade for a running back, which I desperately need. You know, or maybe I am 1-5, and I had Nico Collins, and I need a guy that's going to get me points this week instead of having Nico Collins on IR. That's not an unbalanced trade. All right, but most fantasy managers, and if you're one of these people, you can admit it. It's not something that, you know, you have to worry about carrying around on your shoulders. Most fantasy managers will veto a trade simply because it makes a team better, not because the trade is unfair. Admit it. You would do this. I know you. Okay? You can't just veto a trade because it makes a team better and you don't want to have to play that team next week or you're playing that team this week. That's not fair to the person that makes the trade. All right, but even if you think a trade is unfair, and I've got a scenario that I'm going to unveil to you here in a second about a trade that I made a couple years ago. All right, everybody plays the same dues in most fantasy football leagues. Most people are grown-ass human beings that play in fantasy football leagues and should be allowed to make decisions based on the team that they paid for with their own dues however they want to. You're talking about grown people here. Stop trying to manage other people's teams by vetoing a trade just because you don't agree with their trade philosophy. So here's the scenario here. A couple of years ago, let me just tell you what the trade was, and then I'm going to explain to you my reasoning behind it, and that should shed some clarity on it. Now, looking back, it was not a great trade. But my reasoning for the trade was sound, even if yours would not have been. The trade in question, I traded away Joe Burrow for Kadarius Toney, 1-for-1, even swap, no draft picks or anything else included. This is a dynasty league. All right. On the surface, you may be thinking, ha ha, what? You didn't really do that. I did that. And that's kind of what I'm saying now, but it's not like Joe Burrow's been great. All right, he didn't even play most of last year, and last year was the first full season after this trade was made, I think it happened during the season 2 years ago. Okay? For one, I play in a dynasty league with only one starting quarterback spot. You only need two quarterbacks if you even have multiple quarterbacks on your roster. If you're in a redraft league, you don't need two quarterbacks on your roster. That guy that you drafted late as your second quarterback is probably still going to be out there on the waiver wire whenever that bye week comes for the one quarterback that you drafted. Okay, so you don't need two quarterbacks on your roster, period. I'm in a dynasty. I had three. All right, I had the starter. My starter who I was going to lean on, now look, this is 2 years ago, was Justin Fields, who's racking up 25-point games like nobody's business. I also had Brock Purdy and Joe Burrow. So I'm just fine if I want Justin Fields to be my guy moving forward because I like running quarterbacks. I was just fine trading a second or third string quarterback in Joe Burrow because I still had Brock Purdy, who all I had to play him was 1 week out of the year. And that's Justin Fields' bye week. So Joe Burrow was expendable to me. I threw him out there on a trade block, and nobody offered me anything. All right, so the Kadarius Toney owner and I were talking. He had just switched teams from the Giants to the Chiefs. Kadarius Toney was supposed to be the next Tyreek Hill. That's what they told us. That's what Andy Reid said. That's how we all thought they were going to use him. So I'm like, oh, wow, let me jump on this before everybody else starts throwing the Joe Burrow owner or the Kadarius Toney owner at the time, trades. I'm like, hey, man, I know you need a quarterback. How about Joe freaking Burrow, Joe Cool? And he's like, sure, I'll do that. Didn't even do it with a quick response. He's just like, sure, because this is next Tyreek Hill here. All right, so Kadarius Toney does not end up being the next Tyreek Hill. He's not even in the NFL. Joe Burrow gets hurt, doesn't even play the next season, has only had one good fantasy game this season, but Justin Fields switches teams. We don't know if he's going to start. He has been the starter, and he's been great this season. He's been better than Joe Burrow this season in fantasy football. That's the weird thing about fantasy football. Daniel Jones is playing better than Patrick Mahomes this year in fantasy football. Maybe not on the field, but we don't care about that. We just care about what you produce in fantasy football. All right, so vetoing trades is a horrible practice. All right, it should not be allowed just because your philosophy differs from the person who made the trade. There you go. That's my spiel. I make it on a yearly basis about vetoing trades in fantasy football.